بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. The opening verses of the 17th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of our inevitable death and accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences and opens the chapter and the juz by saying, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ. Surely the time of account and reckoning has drawn very close. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. Yet people continue to live a life that is heedless. Somebody said in the English language, you think you're killing time, but you realize not time is killing you. You think you're killing time, but you realize not time is killing you. Swiftly time is just running away and we are losing time. Every person today wants to create the perception that I'm still young and I have time to buy. So when a person reaches 40, then they say, what is it? It's the old age of youth. 40 is the old age of youth. And 50 is the youth of old age. 40 is the old age of youth. So you're still in your youth, my brother, but you're just in the latter end of it. And when you're in 50, they say the best 10 years of a woman's life is between 29 and 30. The best 10 years of a woman's life is between 29 and 30. She never crosses that mark. So everybody wants to remain young. Everybody wants to remain young. But the Quran said, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ مَنْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who passes away, his qiyamah has come. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ. Whenever a fresh revelation comes unto them from their Lord, they listen to it, but they're not focused. They don't heed it. They don't effect change. They don't internalize its message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Thereafter, on the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that one of the fundamental purposes of the formation of the heavens and the earth, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We have not created the heavens and the earth as any form of entertainment or amusement. Allah ta'ala then goes on to say that it does not befit my majesty to indulge in any entertainment. لَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهْوًا لَاتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا. It does not gel with the majesty of Allah and the grandeur of Allah to indulge in anything that is in vain, that is meaningless, that has an entertainment element to it. So the object, the purpose of man's creation is much more significant and much more greater. Thereafter, on that same page, I'm just running through a few verses because there's so much to be said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly reminds us on the concept of monotheism, and that is the doctrine of one God. And Allah ta'ala has refuted polytheism in the Quran through previous scriptures as well as logical engagement. So here is one of those things where Allah ta'ala refutes it on both fronts. لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. Even the human intellect would testify to the fact that if there were two deities and two supreme beings of equal power controlling the heavens and the earth, inevitably this would result in an altercation between these superpowers, between these divine beings, which will ultimately see the destruction of the heavens and the earth. But since the inception of the universe till today, it continues to remain and it is governed and controlled by one Allah, and that is the proof that only one being is in control. In another verse, Allah explains it in the following way. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ. Say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if there were other gods with Allah as they allege. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ, as they suggest and allege. Then لَبْتَغَوْ, most certainly, إِلَى ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا. The other gods would at some point unite their resources, pool their resources, and try and overpower the supreme being. It happens in a small school, it happens in an institution, it happens in the political arena, it's happening in the Middle East, and it continues to happen in what and what and where and where. So for small power, for small titles, for a little MP, for a little trustee, for simple positions, people fight and they would vie with one another. Why would they not do that to take over absolute control over the heavens and the earth? But Allah says it has never happened, and hence this is proof that only one Allah is in control. هَذَا ذِكْرُ مَنْ مَعْيَ وَذِكْرُ مَنْ قَبْلِي. Say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here is the Quran in my hands, and here are the divine scriptures prior to me. Show me in any scripture where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condoned and approved and endorsed polytheism, but to the reverse, Allah ta'ala has refuted it. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the malaika, that the angels, the celestial creation, they are pure, they are sinless, they are very close to Allah. But having been close to Allah, that doesn't elevate them to a position of divinity in any way. You say he's very close to the president, he's next in line. You know, I was reading a saying the other day and it made me laugh. A child said, when I was young, my father inspired me and he said, listen my son, anybody can become a president. And when I grew up, I started realizing it's correct, anyone can become. When I was a child, I was told, my son, anyone can become a president. In other words, listen, this is not out of your reach. You know what, you never know when luck can fall. And when I started growing up and I realizing, honestly, there's no credentials and scruples and values and anything to those that are taking the reins, really anyone and everyone can come in. So those that are close and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not for a moment elevate them to a position that they can also claim this authority. Allah says they worship Allah perpetually. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. However, وَمَنْ يَقُلْ مِنْهُمْ إِنِّي إِلَهٌ مِّن دُونِ. If any angel ever elevates himself and lays claim that I'm taking over the reins and I am the being and I will control, فَذَلِكَ نَجْزِيهِ جَهَنَّمْ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ. Instantly we will subject that angel to the most intense torment of hell and he will dwell there forever. So no angel can ever assume that position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolute one and supreme. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says here, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will taste. And from the word taste, the scholars tell us that death is something that a person will just not experience. It will be something tangible. It will be something physical. We know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَكَرَاتِ. Indeed, the agony of death is very intense. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I changed my perception on concluding on a person after seeing the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever I would see a person passing away and the last moments would be challenging and daunting and would be really difficult, then I would sometimes wonder and think perhaps it wasn't a good end, it wasn't a pleasant end. I wonder what are the implications in Akhirah. But when I seen the paragon of Allah, the noblest of Allah's creation, even he had a fair share of challenges in his last moments, I then realize there is no escapism from this year. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَكَرَاتِ. Indeed, the pangs of death are intense. Indeed, the pangs of death are intense. And then my brother Abdul Rahman walked in and he took out his miswak. And we said the blessed mouth was dry. So we said, let's use miswak. But look at the thinking of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, either I moisten the miswak in water, or I moisten it in my saliva, but then whatever it is, whether it's zamzam, regular water, or my saliva, nothing can compare to the blessed saliva of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I had to use his own saliva to soothe his own pain. Because I said, if I put it in my mouth, it's my saliva. If I put it in water, surely it's water. If I put it in zamzam, it's blessed. But hang on, nothing comes close to the blessed saliva of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is the greatest. And then we put it in, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then his final words were obviously, As-salā wa ma malakat aymanukum. And that also the ulama say was his comprehensive advice. He summarized his 23 years of nabuwat in two words. He summarized his 23 years of nabuwat. Oh my sahaba, I am leaving. Look after your salah and your prayers. And take good care of your subjects and your subordinates. And the ulama say that's a summary and a synopsis of deen. If you're particular of prayer, then you will be particular of the other fundamentals of Islam. And the other aspect of our religion and the other dimension of our faith is our social interaction. And if you do not exploit your authority where you have dominance and authority and power, then if you are kind to those that are under your authority, then you will be kind to your neighbor and those above you and those of equal peers. Because where Allah has given you authority, you haven't exploited it. And these were the last words. And then he said, Allahumma fir rafiqil a'la. Allah, you've promised me that loftiest abode. And I anticipate that and I'm optimistic of that. And with that I leave the world. And obviously he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the highest rank. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. I have declared and ordained that I will test you. Some I will test you with adversity, and others I will test you with prosperity. But that's a declaration. And if you look at the life of the average human, and you look at the global happenings of the world, and the political landscape, and you look at the social anarchy that's happening, and the mayhem that's gripped the world, and really speaking, I said the other day, I was giving a talk, and I said, we cry about our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, and what has happened, but honestly, it doesn't hurt us enough. It doesn't hurt us enough, my brother. I was reading an incident of Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi while I was flying back now from London. Somebody gave me a kitab, and two things in that booklet stood out for me, and it hit me so hard. One of his close disciples, and Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi, the author of Fazail Amal, a man who this humble mortal had the good privilege of seeing him as a young boy at the tender age of 8. It's a memory that would live with me, and may Allah reward my father for taking me when he visited our shores in 82. This particular scholar said, I had the opportunity of spending many Ramadans with Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he said, I can safely say, Maulana did not eat in the entire Ramadan what an average Muslim, consumes in one day of Ramadan. Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib mentioned this. I was flying, I said, I actually lost the desire to eat or to do anything. When it hit me so hard, I said, Ya Allah, what is this? You know, we like, oh no, my seri is early, I'm on Dubai time, I need to buy more, I need to fill my reserves more, I need to really, you know what, drench myself and hydrate myself. And here he's saying that Maulana did not eat in the entire Ramadan what an average Muslim consumes in the whole of in one day of Ramadan. What we eat in one iftar and one seri is something he didn't eat in the entire Ramadan. And there's another incident mentioned there of his. He said that we were sitting there, it was the month of Ramadan, and a person brought his little baby requesting du'as. And the child was throwing a bit of a tantrum and crying and wailing. So he tried to pacify the child and appease the child, but the child wouldn't cry, the child was throwing a tantrum. And then he presented the baby and the toddler in the blessed hands of the great scholar. And he said, sorry man, you know, he's a child and he's crying, we just invoke you, the blessings of Allah, and if you can kindly pray for him. And then with a sigh, and then he cried, and he said, leave this child as it is, there's nobody crying in the ummah. Let these toddlers cry, maybe that would attract the mercy of Allah. Waise bhi ummat mein rone wale na rahe, is bacche ke rone se mumkin hai Allah ki rahmat josh mein aa jaye. It hit me so hard. He said, as it is, there's nobody left crying today. Ask yourself, brother, you're making dua iftar time, you're making dua seri time, it's great. How many times am I crying? How many times seri am I crying? You see, a person goes for hajj, and if he's not in the practice of dua, he doesn't know what to do. He comes to Mina, you tell him what to do. He said, look, you have 5 prayers and make dua. Okay, you made dua. You got to Arafat. Maulana, what do we do? I said, make dua. He said, but we just made dua. I said, but that's it. Speak to Allah. I was speaking to the brothers in UK. I said, mashallah, you have this long British fast. At the time of iftar, you can negotiate with your Allah. You having this long fast, there's so much to talk. Enjoy, communicate, cry. Unfortunately, those tears are gone. So Allah will test every person. Allah says, some I'll test with adversity and some I'll test with prosperity. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah tested us with both adversity and prosperity. But I'm happy to tell you, we excelled when it came to the test of adversity. But I must admit and confess, we battled when it came to the test of prosperity. Oh man. And Sayyidina Umar, his words can only be humility. Where can Umar fail? If Umar fail, who passes, my brother? If Umar radiallahu anhu fails, who passes? I was reading an incident yesterday on the life of Sayyidina Umar. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, he was narrating a hadith. He says that one day one person was walking, and then he was attacked by a demon, by an evil jinn. And this person attacked the jinn, and resisted the attack of the jinn and dropped the jinn. So the jinn felt very humiliated and defeated because that had never happened in his life. So the jinn then stood up again and tried to combat him again. And for the second time, this person gave him a blow and collapsed and caused his fall and drop. So the jinn said, who are you? And what is your miracle? He said, it is through the power of the Quran. And then this person asked the jinn, through what medium can the humankind seek intervention and protection against you? So he said, obviously it's Ayatul Kursi. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is narrating this. So one of the Sahaba said, you saying a person, who's this person? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I thought you will realize by now it can be none but Umar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So anyway, he said, Bulina bil-dharra fasabarna wa bulina bil-sarra falam nasbir. Allah tested us with difficulty and we survived the test of Allah. And Allah tested us with prosperity and we could not survive the test of Allah. And really, I say from this quotation of Umar, the point that is loud and clear is the test of prosperity is greater than the test of adversity. And it doesn't for a moment mean that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu failed in any way. Thereafter Allah says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man has a hasty nature. In Tafsir Uthmani, in Surah Dahar, under this ayah, that man loves to hasten. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani has written such an amazing thing. I was researching it, and when I read it, I said, Ya Rab. He said, Allah has repeatedly said in the Quran that man is hasty by his nature. The only difference is, the pious hasten in good, while the sinners hasten in evil. I said, wow. Man by his nature, he wants things done instantly. Huh? Nowadays, it's, you know, before you bought a coupon on the run, now it's a pizza on the run. Huh? Pizza on the run. I said, Ya Allah, what else? What else? Everything, just grab it and run. Take this and move. So man by his nature wants things quickly. The only difference is the sinners want to sin quickly, while the noble hasten in their good. They don't want to delay. They don't want to delay. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his sahaba, and he just stood up and he scaled their shoulders and he went in hurriedly and then he returned. And sahaba sensed panic and they said, is all fine? He said, yes, I was sitting with you and I realized I left some gold coins at home and I wasn't comfortable for the angel of death to visit me while that's in my possession. I said, let me dispense of it quickly. And I'm like, purposely I want to keep it and make sure I have it. أَيَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَ كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ يَحْسَبُ, does he think, أَنَّ مَا لَهُ, that his empire, أَخْلَدَهُ, will grant him eternity on this earth, كَلَّا, he's dreaming, لَيُنْبَذَنَّ, he will be hurled, فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. Ya Allah uses the word حُطَمَة to describe hell, which literally means the crusher, meaning he will be crushed inside it. So man has been created with a hasty nature. Then Allah speaks about the scales of justice. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Brothers, I say this and I've said it and I'll keep on saying it. Endeavor to learn the Quran. When I was in London last week, one of the talks I had to give, which was a very pleasant talk for me, was young professionals, all married couples, and one brother, 675 years of age, that have started the alim course and they have successfully completed their first year. There must have been at least 30 men and maybe 15 sisters. So those 15, it was a father with a daughter or a husband with his wife, and they completed, they have dedicated their weekends. So it's three teachers teaching them Saturday and Sunday from 8 till 12. They're doing sarf, they're doing nahwa, they're doing grammar, they're doing qasas, they're doing everything. And I was so impressed. I said, listen, I'm really giving you people some talk and encouragement, but more it's here for me to take this to others, to take it on. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, Quran ko khatam karna maqsood nahi hai, Quran mein apni zindagi ko khatam karna maqsood hai. To end the Quran is not the aim. I completed two Qurans. That's not the aim. To die reading the Quran is the aim. I completed 10 khatams. You could complete 10 khatams. Somebody said, the Quran is meant for yourself and not for your shelf. The Quran is meant for yourself and not for the shelf. So I could read 10 khatams and then forsake the Quran. No, no. Get into learning. Get into learning. Wherever it is, whatever it is, sit down and tailor make a package. But start learning the Quran. So what does Allah say? وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The scales of justice will be put. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No injustice will occur against any soul. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ. And if it is an action the size of a mustard seed, أَتَيْنَا بِهَا, we will produce it. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And my knowledge is sufficient for accountability. The recordings of the angels is just to give a tangible document before man. Otherwise Allah said, that's an insult that they record in, because Allah doesn't know. Allah knows everything. So there is an incident under this ayah mentioned in the tafsir that a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "O Prophet of Allah, I have some slaves. Yukadhibunani wa yakhununani. Sometimes they overstep the mark, sometimes they underperform, sometimes I am more harsh than I was supposed to be. How will my interaction and my social relation with them play out before Allah? Sometimes I am courteous to them, sometimes they cordial to me. Sometimes I am crude to them, sometimes they don't perform in their work and their duties and their obligation." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Your evil will be matched against their injustice. If it balances out, kana kafafa la laka wala alaik, then there will be no torment on you, there will be no credit to your account, there will be no merit, there will be no demerit. But if perchance their injustices were greater than your harshness and your sternness, then that will be a credit to your account, that you persevered, you endured, and they had hurt you, they had offended you, that would be a credit to your account. And Allah forbid if it's the other way around, that you had caused them more harm and inflicted them greater than what the wrong they had done to you, then I'm afraid you will not stand as a master and they will not stand as a slave, but you both will stand before Allah, kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa atir rahmani abda, as a servant, and then justice will be meted out against you, retribution will be meted out." When he heard this is how real Quran was. He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, then I think the safest way is rather I liberate them all and don't jeopardize my akhirah. I rather do the drastic thing, liberate them, and I know my akhirah is not in jeopardy." Nabi Sallallahu said, "Well, if you want to take the precautionary measure to secure your akhirah, good luck to you. Good luck to you." Subhanallah, the scales of justice will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every person has to answer and fear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah speaks about the incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and it's very lengthy and it's very long. But in essence, we know Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he went and the nation was gone for their festival, then he had broken the idols and then he left the axe on the big idol. And when they came back and they engaged with him, he pointed to the big idol and he said, "Why don't you speak to this here?" In Jalalain, there's a beautiful quotation written there, فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَا يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْفَأْسَ كَيْفَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ عَابِدِهِ الْبَأْسَ. فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَا يَدْفَعُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْفَأْسَ. You need to understand this in Arabic. It's just awesome. A translated version is paraphrased and it will never be the verbatim and the absolute. That idol that cannot take an axe off its neck, how can it avert a tragedy from its supposed worshipper? The idol that is so helpless and feeble and useless that it cannot take out an axe, because Sayyidina Ibrahim had put it around its neck and left it there, and he said, "Well, speak to the idol," and it was so helpless that it couldn't move a lifeless object. Where can it avert any difficulty from its worshipper? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that conviction in the greatness and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. These were two great prophets, father and son. Allah had favored them with prophethood and an empire and a dominion and a kingdom. So this was the boon of Allah upon them. But the thing that I just want to touch on Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam very briefly, routinely this great Nabi of Allah would camouflage himself amongst the masses and go and ask the people, "What's your opinion about Dawood?" So people had heard about him, but many didn't know he was Dawood. And he only would engage in this exercise to improve himself, to find out what do people feel. Today, what they say, flattery is to tell a man exactly what he thinks of himself. Flattery is to tell a man exactly what he thinks of himself. The majority of us would prefer being ruined by false praises than rescued by objective criticism. The majority of us would prefer being ruined. That man is thrilling and he's massaging my ego, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that's damaging me. I know that's not helping me, but I'm enjoying it. And I'll keep such cronies around me who will trumpet me, who will sing my praises. They say when the flatterers meet, then even the devil goes for dinner. When the flatterers meet, flattering only flattery, then even the devil goes for dinner. That's what our life is. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam would go and camouflage himself. And he would ask the people, "What's your opinion on Dawood? What do you think about Dawood alayhi salam?" And then somebody, one day Allah sent an angel in a disguised form. The angel knew this was Dawood. Dawood didn't know this was an angel. And Dawood alayhi salam asked this person, you know Dawood? He said, yeah, I know Dawood. Any idea about Dawood? What's your opinion? Look here, the man is a great individual. It's just that he's drawing funds from the national treasury. If he had an independent income, that would just make such a greater human of him. Now, when you ought to learn, then when somebody tells you, then you don't say, yeah, but you know what? As a Khalifa, you can take from the Baytul Mal. You are justified. If you look at our history, no, because I'm out to learn. So when I'm told, I accept. At that time, he said, oh Allah, I came to learn. And this is what was told to me. Teach me a skill and empower me with an art through which I can generate my own income. And that's what the Quran said. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ صَنْعَةَ لَبُوسٍ لَكُمْ لِتُحْصِنَكُمْ مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ شَاكِرُونَ And we taught him the art of making armor. لِتُحْصِنَكُمْ to protect you. مِنْ بَأْسِكُمْ in your battlefield. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ شَاكِرُونَ And in the 22nd juz, Allah gives the whole breakdown how Allah made it possible for him. وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ Amongst the miracles that Allah had given to Sayyidina Dawood, Allah had softened the steel for him. So he didn't have to put that cap on and the spark shooting out and telling kids move away and it's hazardous to the environment and all that. No, no, no. Allah had made the steel soft. And Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam would soften the steel and he would make armor. I marvel at these words of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi, that somebody came to him and said, I need to confess to you that I've been backbiting about you and I ask your apology. He said, I will forgive you conditional that you disclose the backbiting that you've been doing. Not because I want to expose you more, because it's wrong for you to backbite, but it could be highly possible that which you were saying is a wrong in me. And if you don't tell me, how will I change it? I mean, like, can you think where these people were? I will forgive you, no problem, brother. But please let me know what you said. Please let me know what you said. So, you know, today we are told what is wrong, but unfortunately, we never ready to embrace it. Sayyidina Umar one day stood up and he said, folks, if I do a wrong, what will you do? They said, قَوَّمْنَاكَ بِسَيْفِكَ We'll straighten you with the very sword with which you straighten us. He said, Alhamdulillah الَّذِي جَعَلَ فِي أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدِ مَنْ يُقَوِّمُ إِعْوِجَاجَ عُمَرْ بِسَيْفِ عُمَرْ Allah, I'm so grateful you've kept people in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that will straighten Umar if he crosses the line and he goes off the path. Unfortunately, we've lost that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning verses of Surah Hajj, Allah speaks about embryology. Embryology is a theme of the Quran, the development of the fetus, there's the medical, there's the scientific, there's so many facts into it, but this is the beauty of the Quran, and this is the richness of the Quran, and this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I was in UK now, and I was seeing this long fast, I landed from the Caribbean into London, and that day was a long fast, and then I had a Jummah program, and I had a night program. I was a bit tired and exhausted, and I met an elderly uncle at the masjid, and I said, Uncle speaks Urdu, kya hal hai, aapka roza kaisa hai? Now there's a man in his 70s and you're looking at an 18-hour fast. He said, ji, koi cheez mushkil nahi hai agar dil mein mohabbat ho ya khauf ho. Really nothing is difficult if you love the being for whom you do it or you fear the consequences of disobeying him. Oh, was my thirst gone? Was my hunger gone? A vitamin tablet couldn't give me the kick that man's words gave me. I had Jummah that same afternoon and I had a talk after Asr. And I was like crossing continents and flying over time zones. But I said, Allah, you always send people to inspire me. You always create these things to give me that message and to give me that injection. That hang on, man, look here, man, this is it. If that inner love for Allah is there. So here Allah speaks about embryology. Ya ayyuhan nasu in kuntum fi raybin min al-ba'th. If you doubt resurrection. Fa inna khalaqnakum min turab. Verily we created you from sand. ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ Then we created you from the semen. ثُمَّ مِن عَلَقَةٍ Then from a blood clot. ثُمَّ مِن مُضْغَةٍ Then from a chewable flesh. Now, at that stage of embryology, of the formation of the fetus, science, medical science will tell you a host of things. But the Quran says, مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ At that point, the angel task asked Allah, Allah, are we creating a complete child or a malformed or an abnormal child here? Regarding the formation of every child, the angel asked Allah, مُخَلَّقَ أَمْ غَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَ And then Allah's decree comes and Allah says it will be a perfect child. And like one scholar said it so amazingly, he said, at the very precise moment when the decision is being issued by Allah for the perfection and the formation of this child, unfortunately, tragically, ironically, the mother who's carrying that child is abusing her organs and limbs. It coincided with the wrong moment, and Allah could grudge the fetus against the wrong of the mother. No, wait, hang on. You call your child, and then he doesn't come. You say, well, listen, I wasn't calling you to give you work. I wanted to give you spending. But it's all right. You're busy, mashallah, carry on. You're busy, right? So carry on. So you lost out. Wrong moment. He who kills time, buries opportunities. He who kills time, buries opportunities. At that very time, you're abusing it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us complete, wholesome and perfect. Then Allah says, وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and we preserve you in the womb of your mother. مَا نَشَى, for the duration we want. إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, for the stipulated time we have ordained. ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا, then you exit the womb of your mother as an absolute helpless feeble fetus, as a child. ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ, then gradually we give you strength, we give you might, we give you ability, and you reach your prime, you reach your strength. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى, and some we cut their life in their prime. And some we cut their life in their prime. وَمِنْكُمْ, and some, مَنْ هُو يُتَوَفَّى, we cut their life at that point. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ, and look at the phrase of the Quran. Some are those we return them to childhood in old age. So Allah uses the phrase return, that means you were there before. But like I always say, when you were a child and you were dependent, it was the pride of those that were around you to nurture your dependence. But when you age and you're dependent, then unless Allah gives guidance to the youth and the children to value their parents, unfortunately that becomes a liability. And then what does Allah say? لِكَيْلَ, why do I do this to you? Why do I do this to you? Why do I bring you to it? I mean, Alzheimer's today has paralyzed the medical world. How many cases? The living dead. That's what you read in the articles. The living dead. The man is living, yet he's passed away. He's present, yet he's absent. He's here, yet he's gone. No conscious, no awareness of the environments. The Quran says here, لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِن بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. And if you go into the Arabic grammar of nakira and shay'a, we do this so that he knows nothing after knowing everything. So he realizes what he had, we gave it to him temporarily. How can I be proud? It gives me the shivers. Sometimes when I'm performing salah and I'm listening to the Quran, I get so excited, and then I feel, Allah, is my excitement coupled with pride and arrogance? But then I say, Allah, I'm just enjoying the Quran. But then I feel so much, Allah is my witness. Allah, I hope my excitement is not arrogance that I know it and the man next to me doesn't know what's happening yet. Allah, forgive me because you can seize it at any time. This is what the Quran says. A man doesn't become oblivious of his profession. I met a person, I guess the dynamics and the nature of Alzheimer's are so different and so many, and there's this and there's so many. This particular elderly uncle had his finger on the pulse and he understood pretty much everything. But he lost the concept of gender. So he would refer to a male as a female and a female as a male. He would make out night from day, black from white, yesterday from today. But he would address Muhammad as Fatima and Fatima as Ibrahim. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِن بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. The Quran says, I do this so that you realize you know nothing, nothing, nothing after knowing whatever you knew. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً, and if you don't want to look at yourself, look at the earth and look at the turns of seasons. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً, dry, and it withers. فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ, and then we send rain on it. اِهْتَزَّتْ, اِهْتَزَّ يَهْتَزُّ, اِهْتِزَاز in Arabic means to literally come into motion. And that dead land and that barren land with the fall of rain and the turn of season and the coming of spring and the disappearing of autumn, Allah says it actually gets jolted and it starts blossoming and it starts growing and it starts coming up as if life has come into it. وَأَنْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ, and it produces the best of all produce. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّهُ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Allah said, I have only narrated these two to you to add to your conviction that I will resurrect you after death. I will resurrect you. وَأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And I have the absolute power. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ. Then Allah goes on. Look at this here. Allah said, I say all this. I explain all this. Yet you get the arrogant individual. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. When I was looking at this long fast and people standing in the nocturnal prayer, I said 1.6 billion people around the globe can't be fasting such a long fast and following something that's false, man. You cannot be following something that's untrue, man. I mean, this old man that's walking, I was there in London and there was some collection drive for Syria. So they took me there. It was a busy Sunday. I addressed these young students studying Deen. Then I went there to this particular masjid. Oh, it hit me so much. These were youngsters, well, I would say between 20 and 30. You know, young, married. They were raising funds for Eid hampers for the children of Syria. But what were they doing? It's an 18-hour fast. It's 33 degrees. And they were washing cars in the masjid car park. It was a car wash in an Eid campaign, in an Eid hamper. Stand in the sun, you won't wash your own car, my brother. You won't wash your own car 10 pounds. Obviously, averagely it's 5 pounds, but the 5 pounds is a donation. And how many cars did they wash? They raised 1,200 pounds. I said, Allah, fasting in this heat and raising funds, this is the spirit. This ummah might be fragmented, but this ummah has great strength. This ummah has great bonding internally. The line might be fine, but surely there is something left. So Allah says, after mentioning all this, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Some people argue about Allah. They don't have knowledge, they don't have guidance, and they don't have any divine book. Like I always mentioned this year, you'll find people that argue with the ulama. And I've encountered many, many people in my humble travels that got a chip on their shoulder, just want to argue, just want to prove wrong. Some rely on their research. They're well read. So they need to express to people how well they read. They read the latest publication, the latest edition. They're following it. They got it in e-book. They're reading it in hardcover. They're reading it all. So through the intervention of their well-read nature, they engage. You get others that are well-traveled, globetrotters, seasoned travelers. They've seen the continents. They've met people. They've seen cultures. They've seen different diversity, ethnicity. They've intermingled. And because of that, they engage and it makes a healthy dialogue because they've traveled the world and they've seen things differently. But then you get those guys who are not well-read, not well-traveled, and they still argue. I'm not saying that I condone those who are well-traveled and well-read to argue. But a man's got a leg, even if it's a lame leg or it's an artificial leg or a superficial leg, he's holding a crutch in his hand. There are those that are legless. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ ثَانِيَ عِقْفِ. He turns his side away. لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. To mislead people. لَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ. For him is humiliation in this world. وَنُذِيقُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَذَابِ الْحَرِيقِ. And we will subject him to a burning torment in Akhirah. I'll end with one ayah. ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاكَ. This is a constant message of the Quran. Wherever Allah speaks of a torment, Allah concludes by saying, I am only making you taste the retribution of your actions. Nothing extra. A father scolds his child, disciplines his child. Well, my son, you asked for it. Listen, you were driving me to the limit. You know what? Expulsion was inevitable. You were called in, you had one demerit, you had two demerits. We spoke to your parents. Expulsion was on the cards. Allah said, what has come your way is because of your doings. This is the last ayah. Allah in a complaining way says, not because it causes any harm to Allah, but it causes harm to man. Listen to this ayah. And like I said, my brother, make a vow to Allah to start learning the Quran. Don't die without understanding the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give me tawfiq. We all are learning. We all are learning. Nobody knows more. It's this knowledge and we just swim and swim and swim and we continue learning. Women and nas, there are some people. مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. Allah said, they watch me from a distance and they worship me with great reservation. They worship me with great apprehension. So, the exact words of the Quran, يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. They worship Allah standing on the edge. They're on the fence. You say, brother, are you coming in or you out? He says, no, I'm standing on the fence. These were some people who migrated to Medina, and after going to Medina, they wanted to see what was their material prosperity. And they used that, the benchmark and the yardstick, to measure the excellency and the truthful nature of Islam. That if things worked out positive in my world, then Allah is kind and He is forgiving and He is merciful. So this is what the Quran said. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ. If after embracing the faith, goodness fell in his lap, اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ, then he is rejoicing. His jubilation knows no bounds. He's elated. He's overwhelmed. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ. And if I had ordained a test or a difficulty or a hardship for him, إِنْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ, he turns on his back. He abandons his faith. Tell him he is going through material difficulties. By forsaking his faith, it's not going to make things easier. It's only going to compound his crisis. It's only going to... So you know what? You come into the masjid, you turn into Allah, you cry out to Allah, and you want something to happen. And surely Allah has His time. Surely Allah has His time, and He knows in His wisdom past what's right. I sometimes only take solace from my problems when I listen to the whole ummah's problems. And then I realize, no, Allah, I'm happy where I am, and You have Your time in deciding what You've decided for me. And I'll continue in my humble capacities, begging You, Allah, to change my conditions from what I want to, or what it is to what I want. But just listening, the same brother who took me now in London for a program, when I was getting back, and it was like 1:30, he said, my daughters have phone and my wife has phone, would you come home and just afford us your company at home, and we'll be over, overwhelmed. I said, okay, let's go now. I was tired, but I said, you know what, the man is really looking forward to expecting you. So I went home, and a house that looks so beautiful, children that are all, mashallah, educated, living in an up-class area in the UK, all going good by the apparent definition. And then when I sat down and his wife started opening up, and then I realized the gloom and the doom and the hollow and the issues. And then the son was but in a very turbulent stage. My faith is a challenge, and I'm questioning my faith. And I said to him, I calmed him down and I tried to tell him, I said, listen, my brother, Allah has His wisdom in what He has decided, and no person can ever challenge the wisdom of Allah or question the wisdom of Allah. It's our duty not to change our condition, but what they say in English, regardless of what life throws at us, we're responsible for the manner in which we react. Regardless of what life throws at us, right? Sometimes it's a good ball, sometimes it's a curve ball, sometimes you don't see the ball. Regardless of what life throws at us, we're responsible for the manner in which we react. We can be better or better. We can be better or better. Anyway, then I made a dua and I tried to my level best and I made dua for them. But what I'm saying is, each man has his issues in his life. Allah says, when that issue hits home and then you decide to leave Allah, life doesn't become easier. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Now you've lost in this world and akhirah. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. This is an open loser. يَدْعُو مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. By implication, you are suggesting that you are now going to turn to another being, that what Allah couldn't do for me, Allah forbid, let's see if this one can do it for me. That's what you almost implying. That is what you almost implying. يَدْعُو, he supplicates, مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, besides Allah, ma, an object, لَا يَذُرُّهُ, which cannot harm him, وَمَا لَا يَنْفَعُ, which cannot aid him. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ. This is a distant deviation. In fact, this object, leave alone benefit, if any, it will only harm you more. يَدْعُو لَمَنْ ضَرُّهُ أَقْرَبُ مِنْ نَفْعِ. The chances of you being harmed more than being benefited. لَبِئِسَ الْمَوْلَى وَلَبِئِسَ الْعَشِيرُ. Evil indeed is your guardian and evil indeed is your helper. Somebody said a very nice thing the other day. He said, we encourage the youth to come out in the path of Allah. And we take them out, and we take them out. Today they come out to appease us or to appease their parents, but keep on taking them so that at that point of their life, when they're looking for direction, they know where to turn. At that point of their life, when they... Now they might be just coming with you, or I just, speak with him, go out with him. We don't know why, they just do it. But tomorrow when they are at the real crossroads of life, and they are at the real four ways of life, and they really don't know which way to turn, if we had created some cushioning in them, they would know which way to fall on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman. May Allah preserve our iman. May Allah make us amongst those in our du'as, in our supplication, we can cry to Allah and we enjoy the spirituality of supplication. Subhanallah.